A great author once said, I'm not quite sure who it is, but a great author once said that youth is wasted on the young. Youth is wasted on the young. Very profound. And I think that as you get older in this world, and some of us are getting older, some of us think we're not, but you know, you're making a mistake. We're all getting older. As you get older in this world, you begin to appreciate that statement more and more, because you look back and you see that when I was younger, I didn't really appreciate the opportunities that I had. As I get older and I appreciate the opportunities more, I have less opportunities. There's less strength, there's less time, there's more tension, there's more responsibility, there's more complexity in life, you know. And when I was young, I had so much, I had strength, I had energy, I had everything going for me. I had time, years, and I could have done so much more. I didn't appreciate it. So in a real sense, I think it's a very fair statement that youth is somewhat wasted on the young.
It's a very depressing statement.
Well, okay. I appreciate that. But let's continue speaking about it. Maybe we can alleviate the depression as well. Okay? Yes. We might do that too, but even if we increase it, we'll try to alleviate it after we increase it. And sometimes when you increase it and then you alleviate it, it feels even more alleviated because... Anyway, so with all due respect, let's continue. Now, one of the things that I think that we don't appreciate as much as youth is the opportunities that we have to accomplish. We think, oh, I got so many years ahead of me, so much time, I'm young, I could take it easy, I'll catch up later on. And we don't realize that in terms of the accomplishments of life, there's infinite levels of accomplishment. So Memela, if I don't start early, so it's true that I got time, I may have time for us, well, nobody knows how much time he has, but that's besides the point. One of the things that's very clearly hidden from us is how much time we have. But then I realized later on that I could have done so much more. So on the one hand, I thought I got plenty of time, let's take it easy now. And later on, I realized that I regret that I could have done so much more. One of the things that I think is a massive and major regret, and I could speak from personal experience too. You know, again, when you're young, you want to do other things. So you have other interests, you have other distractions, you have a big Yetzirah. You know, the good news is as you get older, Yetzirah gets a little bit less. Not that much, don't get excited, but a little bit less, you know, as you get older. And mainly you begin to think, oh, this, that, I'd like to do more. But one of the things that as you get older, you realize is there's so much information, there's so much knowledge that I could have known. And the lack of knowledge is such a handicap. It's such a real handicap. And it's like, you know, there's so much out there. And there's so much wisdom. And there's so much insight. There's so much inspiration. And there's so much excitement. But I don't know. I don't have it. I look, you know, you get older. You look at people that have all this knowledge. And you're jealous. You say, wow. And I know I got to talk from a perspective of an older person. You feel that there's not enough time to catch up. I'd love to catch up. But number one, there's not that much time. There's more responsibilities. There's not that much time left. And you don't even have the same koiches. You know, your mind doesn't work as fast. And your memory isn't as good. And all these opportunities, even the ones that do exist, are so much more limited than they were when you were young. And then you really, like, you know, you regret it. You figure that I could do something about it, but you get a little bit disillusioned and miyuish and maybe even depressed about doing something about it, because how much am I going to, after all, come on, you know, what, make up for 50 years I'm going to make up for? Ah, come on, impossible, you know. And it's a very disconcerting and a very uncomfortable feeling. So therefore, I wanted to talk a little bit about, let's frame it in a less threatening sense. Let's just talk about the posuk of Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. A man who's wise of heart will take mitzvahs. Because every mitzvah that a person does is the only thing that he can take with him forever. And that's another aspect of this youth versus old age. Youth, people think that they could live forever. They think they could live forever. So, got plenty of time. I'll catch up. Older people realize it's not true. So they say, I want, I'd love to take more with me. I like to, when I pack my bags, I would like them to be full. But how much can you fill it up? You know, you can only fill up so much at a time. So it's really something that we have to start thinking about when we're very young. And if we could appreciate the privilege, the benefit, and the reward that we get from the fulfillment of one mitzvah, then we would grab them like we see a pile of diamonds, and we were just gonna, whatever I could take, whichever pocket I could put it in, whatever, well, I'll put it in my mouth to hold on to it while I'm walking till I get to my home, till I can drop it in there. I'll do anything, because diamonds, it's precious. Every one of them represents thousands of dollars. Who knows what? This is the attitude, you know. And Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. If a person's smart, he's gonna run after mitzvahs. And everyone I take gives me pereseh b'olam hazeh, benefits in this world, and the keren kayemes l'olam habo, and the eventual an eternal fund from which I'll be nurtured forever and ever and ever. And what's that? That's enough mitzvahs, even that. But there's everything. It's like, I don't know, chvestish, I don't know. There's certainly a mitzvah, there's schar in this world, there's schar in the next world. So I don't know what, there's different kinds of kerens, you know, different investment funds, I don't know. But even the ones in the Mishnah, that's pretty encompassing. And the main one that I want to talk about is definitely included in the Mishnah. Okay? So we'll get there. So anyway, so this is, I think, a perspective in life that we have to look at. Now, there's a shortcut to this amassing of diamonds. There's a shortcut. A person can amass endless treasures in a very short system, very shortcut system. What is it? Chazal say that the Torah is Yekorehi Mipninin. The Torah is more precious than pearls, precious stones. A person, the Goyin says, for one word of Talmud Torah, gets the schar for Taryag Mitzvahs. One word. One word of learning, you get schar for Taryag Mitzvahs. Now, if you think about it as an investment, it's really amazing. Because number one, you can't do Taryag Mitzvahs today. A chelek choshuv, chelek godel, maybe even the majority of the mitzvahs, I don't know exactly what karbonis and Eretz Yisroel in this, some Eretz Yisroel you can do, but so many mitzvahs we can't accomplish. A word of learning, scharf and tarik mitzvahs. Another word, another tarik mitzvahs. Another word, another tarik mitzvahs. Add it up. There aren't so many diamonds in the world as the schar that a person can generate, and that's over a day, and then over a week, and then over a month, and then over a year, and then over a decade, and then over a half a century, and you go on and on. It's that shaykh. It's the most powerful, most precious, most lucrative investment that a person can make. It's a real investment, and I get so much schar. And not only do I get schar in terms of reward in this world, in terms of reward in the next world, in terms of eternal reward. But this so much of a sense of fulfillment, because I'm involved in a massive, major way in what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us is the purpose for creation, that the world was created b'shvil Yisroel she'esasku b'Torah, created for Klal Yisroel to be oisek in Torah. And the reason for that, it's not contradictory to anything we know about shleimus and about dveikus, because that is the ultimate shleimus, that is the ultimate dveikus, that is the ultimate connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the connection is on many, many levels. And I'd like just to touch just on a few of those levels. Number one, the mitzvah itself, this is the Dvar Hashem. I am engaged in the Dvar Hashem. That means everything I'm studying, this is what Hashem has said. This is what Hashem tells us. This is what Hashem has given us. This is what Hashem has dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what Hashem has taught Moshe Rabbeinu and has passed on from generation to generation. This is the Dvar Hashem. That in itself is something that is a tremendous sense of achievement, accomplishment, of good feeling. But it really goes much more than that. Because when I pick up the Chochmas Hashem, it makes me feel so good about myself. What can make me feel better about myself than I have mastered, to whatever extent I can master it, the ultimate Chochmah. The ultimate Chochmah. Today, scientists feel good. They've studied one piece of creation, one piece of the Bria, and they now have an insight into how this molecule affects this, or how what goes on inside this part of the cell, in this case, that I can win a Nobel Prize for that. And that's one minuscule little aspect of creation. A person who becomes a Chochm in the Chochmas HaTorah, such a person is mamish, the secrets of creation are his. Imagine the good feeling. Imagine the validation. Imagine the happiness. Imagine the self-confidence. Imagine the feeling good about myself, and that I have become an authority on the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've studied it. I've studied one volume. I've studied another volume. I've mastered it. I've reviewed it. I know it. I understand its insights. I understand its concepts. I know the general concepts. I know specific concepts. I have the ability to delve even deeper into it. And it's all, it's there. It's accessible. It's at my fingertips. And that's who I am. Forgetting all the schar b'olam hazeh v'hakeren kayem es l'olam habo, of which Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, that we say every day. But just a good feeling myself. Just a good feeling myself. I have mastered a piece of the Chochmas Hashem. Now, the problem is that some of the Chochmas Hashem is more, has more instant gratification than other parts. And some of it is downright difficult and sometimes even frustrating, because it's so complicated, so confusing, it's so many differences of opinion and so many this, and I can't, it's so hard to master and to get, I don't get. That's true. And certain things are just so amazing that it's like, so I want to like touch on a little contrast between those two things. Some young man, young high school student, 10th grader, asked me something today, and I told him the following. A Mishnah, Serches HaPoelim, Mitzia, and a Vort from, happened to be his great-great-grandfather, Altam Slabotka. I told him like this. The Mishnah says, if a person hires workers, day workers, he agrees to pay them a certain amount per day, and he says, meals are included. Okay, so that's the contract. $10 a day to paint my house, including 3 meals. Okay, meals are included. So the Mishnah says, even if you'll feed him, kisuda shleima b'shaitoi. I don't know exactly what they serve, that suda shleima b'shaitoi, but that seems to be the epitome of gashmius and luxury and culinary tantalization, I don't know, whatever you would call it. You know, nothing like it. That wasn't just a 7-course meal. Maybe it was a 70-course meal. Everything in the world was there. Shlema HaMelech. You won't be yotzi obligation for mezonos. Shehem b'nei Avraham Yitzchok v'Yaakov. That's the Loshna of the Mishnah. Ad kedei kach, then when the son of one of the Tanuyim in the Mishnah hired workers, and he said he's giving them mezonos, so he told them, no, you got to go tell them, al manas she'en lochem alai el pasu kitnius bilvat. Make clear to them what the menu of the mezonos is. All you're getting is bread and beans, so that there's no misunderstanding. So the Alta asked the question, he says, what are you talking about? Take this day worker, this Nebuch, this Misken, this day worker who's hiring himself out to paint your house for $10 a day, yeah? And you include in it food. And you give him Kesuda Shleima B'Shaito, maybe even 3 meals a day of Kesuda Shleima B'Shaito. You're not Yotzi Achiv because you said Mezoinos. Shein B'nei Avraham Yitzchok Yaakov. What kind of talk is that? Of course you're Yotzi Achiv. And I was going to be thrilled if you gave him a 5-course meal, if you gave him a steak, if you gave him maybe a hamburger, he might be thrilled. You know, and here, Kesuda Shleima B'Shaito, you haven't fulfilled your obligation, you better specify that it's only Pasu Kitnius. Shein B'nei Avraham Yitzchok V'Yaakov. No, you have to specify what the menu is. I have to specify. That's what he says. Shein b'nei Avraham Yitzchok. What's the pshat Alta says? So he says like this. He says, these people are descendants of royalty. And they feel this royalty inside. And they're working now as a cheap, cheap day laborer. Very belittling, very degrading. And you say mezoinos, you can't fulfill their subconscious need for mezoinos, because to satisfy them with mozoin is supposed to satisfy. To satisfy their subconscious, you'll never satisfy, because they're B'nai Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and they're not going to be satisfied no matter how much food you give them, since they're working in this lowly work. Therefore, he says, you have to specify. This is what the contract is. So you're yotze to the contract. And he points out, he says, you see from here that the Das Torah is that when you make a contractual obligation to satisfy someone, the contract is not only with the conscious mind, it's even with the subconscious. If there's a subconscious need and you contracted stam, you didn't specify, then you have to even satisfy the subconscious need, which in this particular case, you'll never be able to do. Now, a concept like that, you will not ever find any place in the world. If this is what the Torah teaches us, such depth of chesed, such depth of sensitivity, such depth of a sense of responsibility to a fellow Jew, to the extent that when I make a contractual obligation with him and I said mezoinos, no, you have to satisfy his subconscious definition and satisfaction of mezoinos besides just the conscious. And if not, you're not yotze. Therefore, he tells him, when you make a contract with him, say, I'm paying you $10 a day and 3 meals of pasu kitnius. That's what it is. And then that was the contract. I'm not mechuyev anymore, because I didn't say I would satisfy with the mezoinos. I said, this is what I'm offering you. Now, on the one hand, you see, it's truly amazing. You see the extent of insight, the extent of sensitivity, the extent of chesed, the extent of responsibility. This is only Das Kel Elyon can teach us such values. On the other hand, sometimes you learn a sugya and you're very frustrated. You don't get it. And sometimes even worse than that, I learn a sugya and I think if I had another hour or two, I might be able to get it. But they got this thing that they tell me, I gotta cover so many blot and I gotta learn, I gotta do bikias and I gotta move on, and I can't spend more than a short amount of time on anything. And, oh, you give out. It's like, it's so frustrating. Mitzad echod it is. Mitzad sheni, it isn't. Why? Because when a person is in pursuit of the relationship with Hashem, in pursuit of the Chochmas Hashem, in pursuit of connecting with Hashem, that pursuit itself, the fact that, where am I? What am I doing in life? What's my position in life? My position in life is figuring out how to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu better, is figuring out how to get closer, is part of a journey to get close. Imagine if that we were invited to the, the king's palace. Let's just do that, okay? Now, I'm invited to the king's palace, but it's a long trip to the king's palace. And he didn't send his private jet, you know. So I have to go by horseback or by donkey, you know. I have to go even in a car. I have to travel. I have to get there. There's no question that with this unique and special invitation, I am going to enjoy every minute of the trip as well. And even if it's bumpy, and even if the car's an old jalopy, and even if it's hot and it's stuffy, but I'm on the way to meet the king, to present my personal invitation that I was given to develop a personal closeness, connection, relationship with the king. And he's going to share with me the secrets of his kingdom and what's going on. It seems to me that that's the same feeling that a person can have if he focuses on it in the struggle to learn. I don't understand this so well. It doesn't talk to me as well. A Yevamis is not really inspiring me spiritually with all the stuff that's going on there. That may be true. But it's a process of getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a process of better understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a process that is that's exercising, that's responding to my invitation to enter that inner sanctum of connection and appreciation and understanding and closeness to Hashem. And the process itself, if I focus on what that process is, it can be uplifting, it can be passionate, it can be desirous, it can be inspirational. When I add to that, that for every ounce of effort, for every letter, for every letter that I recite, for every step that I make getting closer, for every time that I review something to get it straight, for every time that I say, you know, I got this, but I want to commit it to memory, so I'm going to repeat it again and again a few times. I know there was once a Talmud Chochem, who's no longer alive, but anytime he said a chiddush, he would make sure to go over to a number of people in the Beis Medrash just to tell it to them. And he said, not because he was sharing his big chiddushim that he wanted to uplift them or inspire them with the chiddushim, but he says, by doing that, I'll remember it. That way, if I said it over to one and another and to another and to another, and everyone was so precious to be queen of that, I have it, this is mine. It's all part of a process that a person can end up feeling so good about himself and so accomplished. And the process itself can be so uplifting and so connecting. And remember, the trip that's taking me, the long trek that's taking me close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is every movement, every inch of the trip is an exciting one, because of the fact that I'm responding to this private invitation in order to be able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that in order to develop a greater sense of appreciation, both for the Chacham Lev Yikach mitzvahs, the opportunities for mitzvahs, and both for the ultimate of mitzvahs, for Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, the mitzvah to give us the schar for all the mitzvahs, that one word, as the Goyin says, you get schar for Tariq mitzvahs, which you can't even perform today. So I think in order to do this, there's one ingredient that's very beneficial. And as human beings, not as malochim. Malochim don't need anything. Malochim are given a shlichus and they do it. They're programmed. They're wound up. I don't know exactly if you wind up the malach, I'm not sure how it goes, but they're wound up and they're programmed. They go. That's it. That's what they do. But as human beings, we're not so easily, wound up. So what do? So I want to suggest something that's really very push it. You've heard it before. It's a Ralbag in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Ralbag says that if you wish to convince a loved one, which means by definition, this is a channel of love, means that this is a person who's ready and willing to listen to you. If there's love there, love is a very massive communicator. To do something that he says is bitzar umuzar, painful and strange. So you want to get a loved one, someone that you have a loving relationship, but you want to do something that's painful and strange. He says, don't you dare, I don't know if he says the word dare, but don't tell him what it is. Yeah? Don't tell him what pain he's going to have. Don't tell him how strange it is. Don't tell him what he has to do. First tell him the benefits. You do this, you'll get this and that and the other thing. Whoa. Then tell him what it is that he's going to have to do and the benefits, he says, that he will get, that he knows he will get before he hears what he has to do, will mitigate, will soften the pain and the strangeness. And it's very clear from him that it's not going to work the other way. If you first tell him the operation, that you're going to have this operation, you're going to have this pain, and then you're going to tell him the benefits, it already is not going to have the same effect. And you'll tell me, and you want to know where we learned this from? The Ralbag says we learned this from Avraham Avinu with the Bris Mila. Hashem did not tell Avraham Avinu that the covenant, that the Bris that he's entering into with him requires a knife. He didn't tell him anything about the pain. He didn't tell him anything about the strangeness, because nobody did it at that time. He didn't tell him what it is. First, he told him, if you enter this pact, if you enter this deal, if you enter this covenant, if you enter this bris with me, you're going to have Eretz Yisroel, you're going to have Deiris will come forth. And only after the benefits could mitigate, can soften the pain, did he tell him, oh, I forgot to tell you that there's a knife that you need for this operation as well, and it's going to be painful and bloody, and no one in the world has done it yet. And it seems that even an Avraham Avinu would be affected by this, to the extent that had he heard the benefits right after he heard what it was, it wouldn't have worked as well. So what I'm suggesting is, I think like this, that if we really want to develop a passion for mitzvahs, if we really want to develop a passion for learning, then I think the first thing we have to do is to work on appreciating the benefits. Everybody wants benefits. Everybody needs benefits. Everybody's motivated by benefits. And Avraham Avinu, the man who was ready to perform an Akedas Yitzchok Verotzo Lishchoy Toysoy, not only needed to hear the benefits to affect him, and that doesn't mean he wouldn't have done it, but he wouldn't have done it the same way. Not only the benefits, but also benefits in this world. This is in this world. He was told he's going to have Eretz Yisroel. That's this world. Eretz Yisroel was promised to him. Children, Deiris, that are going to come out in this world. Not the benefits in the next world or Ayin Loiroa, so, and maybe even beyond our ability to relate to, certainly when we're younger and that world seems so far away, and even when we're older. But the benefits in the here and now. And the more that we realize, the more that I realize how mitzvahs can benefit me, how every mitzvah that I perform has a hashpah on me, how it affects my midas, how it makes me a better person, and how it makes me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how it makes me feel better about myself, and it makes me happy. And if we can translate everything that we do in terms of the personal benefits, and especially Talmud Torah, which is the benefit to schus, is kitariyak mitzvahs for each word. The uplifting sense of self, of self-worth, of validation, of happiness is not shaykh because I'm mastering the Dvar Hashem. I am becoming an authority on... Imagine that. Everybody has an authority on medicine. There's an authority on physics, an authority on this. And today, you don't even have authorities on a big thing on this particular thermonuclear dynamics. And this one is an authority on calculus. syndicalists, I don't know what, you know. And I'm an authority on God. Wow. I'm turned to as an authority on God. I can reflect the Dvar Hashem. I can tell you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Not Shaykh. And I can feel so good about it. And that's the motivation that we need in this world. And when it comes to being, just one more point, when it comes to being an authority on God, I want to suggest something. Chazal say, Chochem Odef Minovi. A Chochem is even greater than a Novi. Now, L'chayra, the comparison, to be greater, there has to be a frame of reference, a frame of comparison. A Chochem is a Chochem. He knows the Torah. A Novi knows the future. A Novi, Hashem speaks directly to him. A Novi is positioned to share and to give and to teach and to show, guide Klal Yisrael into the future. What to do? The Teretz says it's one and the same. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu today talks to us divrei nevius, and I don't mean learning that's out of whack, but divrei nevius through the Chochmas HaTorah. Because I want to know, what's the right thing to do? What am I supposed to do? Well, see what the halacha is. See what the Das Torah is. See what's proper alpi derech eretz. See what's proper alpi midas. See what's proper alpi musar. And that's what you're supposed to do. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through the Chochom as if he was talking and revealing himself to a Novi. That's what he has. So it's mamish. It's like opportunity after opportunity from all sides. But that's difficult. Mitzvah sometimes are difficult. You know, like the old Jews used to say, and we should never repeat it, Oy si shverz az ein ayid. That turned off too many people to Yiddishkeit. But sometimes it is difficult. You know, sometimes it's even sacrifice. And not everybody can appreciate sacrifice as the greatest opportunity to develop a closer hiskashrus with Hashem. So, deficit. And when it comes to learning is difficult on many fronts. Learning is difficult on the sitting. You know, there's a physical difficulty in learning. You have to sit. You can stand if you want, but you know what I mean? It's hard on one part of the anatomy, depending on which part you're resting on, okay? And then the mind is taxed, and there's a lot of steps and a lot of ideas and a lot of complexity, and it's the Das Kelelyo, and it's not simple Simon, it's not nursery rhymes, you know, it's not even Bible stories, it's Das Kelelyo. And the Mele takes a lot of effort, it's true. It's effort, and it's sometimes pain. And Torah is Niknis B'Yisurim. Chazal say, of course, the Ramban says the reason for that is because it's only through Yisurim that we really appreciate something. So the real Kinyan HaTorah is when I acquire the Torah with love and with passion and with appreciation. And that can only come through Yisurim, through difficulty. Ein HaTorah Niknes El Misha Mei Mises Atzmei Oleho. It's really, it's true. But on the other hand, when I think about it, as difficult as it is, and it's going to be difficult, but it's so rewarding. The end result. And if I allow myself to focus on the benefits, constantly focus and refocus and endlessly, you know, one of the reasons that we're matriach everybody here on a Shabbos morning, after they had already enough, plenty enough, and more than enough to hear a little bit, hopefully it doesn't take more than a minute, I think, or two, I don't know, you know, a Sefer HaChinuch with the Sherish HaMitzvah is just to set the idea in motion, to make people aware that, you know something? All of the mitzvahs have benefits. The Chinuch calls them Tam V'Toyeles. Rabbi Mordechai Gifter writes an Akdomah to his Sefer on the Minchas Chinuch. He says the reason we call it Tamei HaMitzvahs is because Tam, he says a fruit will be just as nourishing whether you could taste it or not. But when there's a taste, it's Gishmak. It tastes better, it's good. You enjoy it more. But the Tam makes you enjoy it more. And the Toeles and the awareness of the Toeles helps you to it finds the strength, this benefit. I mean, think about it in a portion of the way. If you have this Ritzufin program, there's money. You have a Mishnayis in the morning. There's money. I don't know exactly how these things work, but if there's money, is this, you see, it's Matan Schorim B'Tzidon? Ooh, that's something else. That's much easier. we have to realize there's more than money. Money couldn't pay for what we get for these mitzvahs. So we should really appreciate the benefit and appreciate the opportunity that we have. And it transposes itself from an overwhelming burden to a massive sense of privilege. And the schar that we get is immeasurable. And the good feeling, the happiness, is ein l'shayer, because I know that I am doing the ultimate and I am fulfilling my purpose and I am elevating myself to the highest possible levels of human achievement.